Disturbing interests may contain graphic and disturbing subject matter. This is a horror true crime comedy podcast, and the topics may depict murder, abuse, the supernatural, strange moments in history, and things that should never be done with food. All jokes are made with the utmost respect to those involved, and listener discretion is advised.
If you enjoy listening to Disturbing Interests, then we ask that you please rate us on whatever podcast platform you choose to listen on. And remember to tell a friend, an enemy, a coworker, a rival gang member, your parole officer, or just about anybody. Just run down the street shouting about it. That would be great, too. Because with us, you might be disturbed, but you aren't alone.
Welcome back to Disturbing Interest, everyone. I am Regina King, your evil queen, and sitting next to me is my ever-beautiful partner.
Hello, I'm Lynn, the docent of darkness.
She is. She is a docent, and she is darkness.
Yeah, I'm ready to guide you through the museum halls of horrible, crazy bullshit today, and boy, howdy. Now, I know we've been off the air for longer than our usual 2 weeks because of illness and travel and life stuff, but you're going to be so either happy to have us back or, like, done with us after this episode, because it's truly horrible.
I'm almost done with myself after this episode, because let's look at how this idea for this episode came about. I went, hey, I think I have an idea for our next episode. And then what did I say?
You looked so happy. You said, hey, I'm going to do it. Let's do the next episode about this guy who ate a baby. And I said, okay.
The glee on my face, though. I felt
you,
it.
Yes, you looked very excited to find out, like, baby, the other white meat, what that tasted like.
There's something wrong with me.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not happy that there was a guy who ate a baby, but I was just so fucking fascinated. And you know what? I regret myself.
I figured you would, because that's not going to be like a lighthearted, fun story.
Oh, no.
Then I was like, okay, what goes along with, hey, there's this guy who ate a baby? So I went science on this. I went deep into the science well, drank deeply of it. And I came up with a few things that would explain why somebody might eat something like a baby, for instance, that they should not be eating.
Exactly. But before we dive into our stories, I feel like I should probably explain why we have been having a few breaks here and there, aside from travel. I know that a lot of you have probably noticed that I get sick a lot.
And not in the head. We're always sick in the head.
Oh, we are always sick in the head. Shout out to mental health care. But I have an immuno disorder, and so I do get sick a lot. And that is something that is really strange, because much like getting mental health care, it's one of those things that people don't talk about. It's almost like a shaming thing. Like, oh, if you just drink the right kind of smoothie and exercise, you'll be fine, or if you just eat right. But I literally have an immuno disorder. So when we are off the air because of sickness, and you can totally blame me for it. But I also have to say, for those of you in Seattle, if you need an excellent, caring group of physicians, you really should go see the folks at Rebel Med Northwest. Hashtag not an ad, just like straight out. They are the most caring, amazing group of doctors, and everybody in their office is just incredible. My acupuncturist, everybody there is so great. They're cool people. So I just felt that it was necessary to explain why our break was longer than normal. It wasn't just because I was living it up in Mexico.
You were getting recreationally sick, like you do for fun. Yeah. Like everybody that has a bad immune system clearly must be doing, just getting sick for the kicks and thrills.
Yeah, but I didn't get pneumonia, so I'm like super happy. Anyhow, so.
So we're going to make you sick now with this truly repulsive episode.
Yeah.
I hope, like, let's just put a disclaimer out there. None of us involved in the podcast believe that you should eat a baby or any of the things we're going to talk about. So if you're going to eat a baby, don't blame us. It's not our fault. And also, we recommend you not eat before, during or after. Like, this is going to be a great weight loss. Like, if you've wanted to try fasting, this is your episode.
Welcome back to the disturbing diet, everybody.
Yep.
It's because
the don't put that in your mouth episode.
Oh, God.
One of the many don't put that in your mouth episodes.
If you thought the beaver anal juice was bad, you have no idea.
And it's not my fault this time. I'm usually the one that's like, oh my God, this is super gross. No, this is on you today. My stuff, it's still gross, but it's like like an order of magnitude less gross, which is impressive.
There was something so gross in my story, I couldn't even put it in because I couldn't bring myself to say it. That's how dark this gets, guys. So I'm just going to let you know right now. This is your warning. If you can't handle it, if you can't stomach it, cool. Talk to us next time. Next time we're going to be talking about cult. It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, no one dies in my cult story. I don't know about your cult story. Nobody dies, but none of it's gross, like in terms of like, bleh, like today's gonna be a complete and total barf-a-rama is what it's gonna be.
On the plus side though, Mexico was fucking phenomenal.
Excellent.
Yes. Before I got sick, Mexico was amazing. I got to float down an ancient Mayan river, and friend of the show, Lacey Nishdoom, got to do some cool dance up on top of a Mayan ruin. So
did she summon like gods? Should we be concerned?
Maybe. Yeah, she probably summoned the gods of fart and cheese.
The gods of fart, okay.
Yeah.
Was cheese a thing in ancient Mexico? Now I'm very curious about like the origins of cheese. I mean,
I am too.
Llama's milk? I don't know.
I mean, cheese has been all over the world, but like when exactly did we start processing?
When was cheese? I'm going to look into that, and as a little sidebar before we talk about cults next episode, I'm going to talk about when was cheese.
I'm in for this. I am in for this.
Educational. Yeah.
Yeah. I have actually considered reclassifying us as horrible educational.
Yes. I mean, that's really who we are.
It is who
You're
we are.
You're learning things you didn't want to know, but you do know now, and can't unknow. This is the can't unknow
show.
Yeah, show.
Yeah.
This is stuff that you don't want in your browser history.
And I promise you, the story I am about to tell you, you cannot unknow. So make your choice now.
Make good choices, everyone. All right, let's do it. Got my barf bag at the ready. I have a soothing can of seltzer water in front of me just to settle my stomach, and I'm ready for this.
Our bad intern has his squeaky ball that might get taken away. And he's looking at me like, why aren't you paying attention to me? It is my time.
He might be my emotional support dog throughout this. I'm not sure.
Okay. So I've said for years that I was hungry enough to eat a horse, cow, whale, or any other variety of animal at the end of that old trope. I think we all have. And I've also really recently literally explained to a waiter that the way I like my steak rare is to take the steak, show it a picture of a fire until it scares a little color on it, and then bring me the meat. I don't think I'm going to be using either of those expressions for a while after this story. So, you see, not only is this one of the most disgusting stories that I have ever written, but it's also one of the saddest.
Oh, great. That sounds fun.
Right. So for a comedy show or, you know,
whatever we are.
Whatever the fuck we
are. Bastard hybrid of horrible history and ha-ha, isn't that hilarious? Yeah, no, oh gosh.
Anyway, so it's really sad.
It's a feel-bad story.
It is. Fair warning, good listener. This is a warning coming from me. Me. I give you the worst of the stories. You have been warned. I shall now proceed. The subject in question is one of the most interesting cases of documented and yet undocumented people in history. So we're going to use our favorite word in this a lot. Allegedly. What his given name actually was is unknown. What is known is that he went by the name of Tarare. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. French people, if I'm not, please email me. Let me know. We love hearing from you, whether it's to correct us or not. That email address is?
It's disturbinginterests podcast@gmail.com.
That's right. Shout out at us. We try to answer as quickly as we get them to. Anyway. Okay, so he went by the name of Tarare and lived from 1772 to 1798 in France. Allegedly, Tarare was a stage name or nickname that came from, like, the French slang of the era or a play on words at the time, meaning explosion, because he was the cause of many a back-ended explosion.
Oh, that's charming.
Isn't it?
Yay.
I mean, isn't that kind of like nicknaming a kid almost like fart today?
Pretty much. Well, yeah. There was also a guy, another, I believe, French man named Le Petomane, who could fart musically. So, yeah, the French and fart jokes have gone hand in hand for centuries. So, yeah, it's a thing.
It's a thing. Okay, yeah. It's a thing. I will accept that. All right. So, but before we dive into Tarare's ass blasting, let's talk a little bit about the disorder called polyphagia. Polyphagia, first off, just, it sounds like my hell. It sounds like the worst disorder. And I'm pretty sure that this is where you go when you are sent to the land of the hungry ghost. Like, this is polyphagia. The land of the hungry ghost is polyphagia. So what it does is it's often diabetically connected. They figured that out, you know, in modern times. They didn't know it then. Because the body, much like with diabetes, cannot break down food correctly. However, instead of your glucose just being out of whack, you suffer from constant hunger. Just constant hunger. In the worst cases, this means the affliction feels like you are literally starving to death at all times. You cannot have your hunger satiated. So imagine living a life like that, just in constant starving pain. Now imagine being born into the 1700s France with the most extreme case of polyphagia in documented history.
Yeah, that was not a time of, like, medical knowledge or social welfare being
A thing, yeah. Also, side note, France, I am becoming more and more impressed by your depraved history every month since we have started this podcast. Like, I'm very impressed by the things I am learning about your history. I do intend to visit you sometime soon, hopefully, and when I do, I'm not gonna fuck with you. However, back to the practice of children's rights. You know, that era known as 1700s France.
Children's rights, they had some. I guess they had the right to be, I don't know, worked to death by their parents.
Yeah, they had that. They also had the right to kick their kid out who couldn't be filled and turn him out into the streets, which is what happened to poor Tarare. His family allegedly couldn't afford to keep him and feed him, and so they just kicked him out. And of course, he did what any abandoned, starving child did. He stole and he begged to survive. However, he quickly developed a taste for things that weren't normally ingested because he had this disorder. He had to keep eating. He was starving to death. He couldn't steal enough. He couldn't beg enough. Before I say this next line, I'm offering my final warning. This is where it starts getting gross. Later in his life, Tarare said that he preferred the taste of rotting or raw meat to cooked meat. One would have to imagine, and this is just allegedly at this point, that these habits were developed young.
Ooh, I don't think I want to try Tarare tartare. That does not sound good.
Oh, no. No. Especially if the tartare is made out of Tarare, because there's a description of him later in. Oh no. Eventually, Tarare joined a traveling entertainment show where he would challenge the audience to feed him until he was full. This is clever. I have to say, pretty inventive.
Yeah, that is a way to, you know, turn your disorder into a success right there.
That's turning your frown upside down. Yes. He ate amazing amounts to the astonishment of the crowds. People would bring him apples by the bushels. And sometimes he would even eat items that weren't food at all.
Like Hot Pockets?
Yes.
A raw apple and an awful filled Hot Pocket.
That is exactly what they were
saying. How about a KFC bowl? I don't think that's food. People still eat that.
Hot Pockets aren't food. Oh, people hell eat no. a whole lot hell of food. Lot of not food. Unfortunately, I'm talking about things like corks
okay.
from
so,
wine bottles.
Here's my unpopular opinion. Pop-Tarts basically taste like cork and or cardboard with a bit of jelly and sugar on them. Fight me.
Fighter.
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
Yeah. Seriously, I don't know why people love Pop-Tarts, but there you are.
I
just put some Smuckers on a piece of cardboard. There you go. You're good to go.
I can't remember the taste of a Pop-Tart.
I admit I'm weird, and even as a kid I was weird, because my mom was like the sugar is the devil lady, so, you know, we'd never get sugary stuff, and now as an adult, anything sweeter than, like, I don't know, fruit, I'm like, oh, that's too sweet. Yeah, I know, that's weird.
I literally cannot remember the taste of a Pop-Tart right now. Nope.
Smuckers on a
piece of
loose leaf notebook.
Huh?
That's what it tastes like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. All right. If you would like to fight her about Pop Tarts, then
it's not a food.
No. You can DM her on Twitter.
Oh yeah, because Twitter's where people all yell at each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yell at me. I'm rats and hats.
Yeah. Rats and hats.
Yell at me about
Pop-Tarts.
Fuck you and your Pop Tart bigotry. I love my Smuckers on a loose leaf notebook. Sorry, but go back to our horrible story. We're going back in time to the 1700s. Let's do this.
And he ate corks.
Corks. Yeah, okay. You know, fiber. That's
nice.
Sure. Keeps you regular. Sure.
Seems like you could get that
Fills
down.
You up, you know.
Yeah.
You always hear about, like, you know, models staying thin by eating, like, tissue paper and cotton. Probably same thing with corks.
Oh, hey. That makes total sense. That's what he was aiming for.
Yeah. Just wanted to keep that, you know, that kind of heroin chic supermodel slim look. Yeah.
Which is very popular here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, it's unknown if Tarare earned his nickname, whatever his real name was, allegedly. We don't know. Or perhaps maybe it was a cruel nickname from his home years or his life on the street. We don't know, but that's...
Pooter McGee would have been this guy's name.
Kind of. And he took it as a stage name, but where it
Toots
actually came
sweet.
From, not sweet. I
Toots
like that
not
one.
Sweet, yes. But so far, you know, okay, rotting raw meat, that's gross. Cork, it's a little gross, but, you know.
Hang in with it.
Okay.
Me. Yeah, yeah. What is known about him, maybe not exactly if this is where the name came from, where when he just started to use it in lights, camera action, feed me all your shit. What is known, though, is that at the age of 17, he could literally eat a quarter of a whole cow, or roughly his own body weight.
Like in a sitting, or like...
One sitting.
Dear Lord, no. How... Okay, I'm trying to come up with the whole physics of this, like... How could your stomach expand enough to shove that much into your bod?
Well, it does give a very good definition because he had a lot of medical study at one point by a very well-renowned doctor. And so he gave a very detailed description of this man's body. And according to his description, when he wasn't full, he could take his stomach and wrap it all the way around his body.
Like, wait, like his...
Like wrapping a towel around yourself.
So he had all this sort of loose flesh kind of thing?
Yes. And when he was filled to where he was full, his stomach was tight and round like a drum or a ball.
Okay.
So...
Plus, again, this is the 1700s, so... The level of veracity, it's hard, you know, how much of this is, I'm absolutely sure he ate a shit ton of stuff, and he ate a lot over time, but, you know, how much has this been legendarized
actually,
as he's
gone on? There are medical documents that detail a lot of this stuff. And normally, I would be like, 100%, this is bullshit, this has been mythicized, but no, they actually have a lot of medical documentation about how much he could eat and the things he could eat, and the, oh, it, just hang in there with me. Hang in there with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, maybe he has like a soup, like his stomach, the metabolism's so fast, it's emptying very quickly.
Just hang in there with
okay.
me. I doubt he ever ate the cow while it was alive, though.
I hope not.
Well, he did do that with other animals.
Oh, no.
According...
Oh, no.
I'm not going into this a lot, trust me, and I could. But according to Tarare, snakes were his favorite.
Because they wiggled like jello as they went down?
He could swallow them whole.
Ugh.
Yep.
Poor snakes.
Well, I've known a few snake swallowers in my life.
Ba-dum-punch. Snake swallowing.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm not... That's not something I'm like, when I go in for government retraining, I'm going to be like, I'd like to swallow snakes.
Did you say governor training?
Government retraining, you know.
Oh, government retraining.
Like, is that something you can get on a program for? Like, I used to be a coal miner, but now, you know, I'd like to be a snake swallower.
I don't know, but I'm thinking if we're going in for some kind of retraining, being females, we are going to do snake swallowing no matter what we want to do.
I don't want that.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, again, this is the podcast that inadvertently makes everyone vegan.
Somebody's got to feel bad for these snakes.
I even am a rat person, so kind of am... They're not necessarily my favorite, but, like, don't swallow them.
Whole.
Yeah, no.
Yes.
Although, I mean, I guess chewing wouldn't even be nice. I don't know what would be better, to chew a live snake to death as it went down you, or to swallow? I don't know. I'm not sure which is the best death.
Bite its head off first.
Yeah,
that
like
way
a
it's
quick
instantly
chunk
dead.
Dead, but I don't, ugh, yeah.
Why have I given, oh, that's right, I've given so much thought to how you eat a snake live because of this fucking story. That's why. It's been an interesting week. Anyway, at the age of 17, he enlisted in the army. I get it. Free food, free roof over your head.
Training. In something other than snake swallowing.
And not living on the road as an entertainer, begging, stealing. I totally get it. However, he quickly learned that his rations were not enough to keep him fed. So he did what any young, starving entrepreneur would do, and he traded work for food.
Okay,
what
well,
you gotta do.
Fit, sure.
Yeah.
That seems reasonable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's... He was really...
for snakes, sure.
He was trying. He'd do his fellow soldiers' chores for their rations. So he traded equally. Unfortunately, though, this still wasn't enough for him. And he ended up in the military hospital because he became so weakened. So he was wasting away because he couldn't eat that much. So I'm thinking he must have had like a super high metabolism.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right? Fortunately for him, though, and us for that documentation purposes I was mentioning earlier, he fell under the care of the man known as the father of military surgery. He is a very well-accredited Dr. Pierre-François Percet, the most French thing that I've said all week. And very well respected, too. To this day, he is a very well respected physician. He did a lot of very amazing things, apparently, in the medical field. That being said, immediately, Terrare's rations were quadrupled. And the studying began. Because, seriously, if you saw this guy, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's probably somewhat helpful to medical science, so that's good. That's a plus. I'm finding the silver lining to this. Yeah.
Keep holding on to that silver lining.
Holding on to it.
So Dr. Percy recorded Terrare's appearance, like I said, and I really wouldn't have believed that the appearance of a man could be like this if it was not recorded by this doctor. So the doctor's description is thus of Terrare. His cheeks were sallow, hollow, but upon distending them, he could hold a dozen apples. His lips were so thin they were barely there, and he had a very wide mouth. He had all his teeth, but the color was streaked like marble, and the molars were quite worn away. He could unhinge his jaw with a 4-inch radius between the jaw connectivity. He often emitted a smell, which caused him to stink so badly that he could not be tolerated at 20 paces.
Huh.
And this portion I'm about to read is a direct quote from the doctor. He had fetid odors and noxious gases regularly emitted that were beyond putrescence.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Mm-hmm. When he was not... Oh, hello, Neko. When he was not well fed, the loose skin from his stomach could stretch around his body. Like I said, wrap around him like a towel. And when he had been well fed, it stretched tight like a drum or a basketball, like I was saying earlier. And the odor he emitted drastically increased. Then his cheeks and eyes became dark red while he was digesting.
What the fuck would cause that? Is there anybody from, like, a modern medical practice that has thoughts on it?
That I don't know. If you are somebody who knows if somebody from a modern medical practice has thoughts on this, please email us because I'm terribly curious. Anyway, the tests were about as fascinating as you would expect from the 1700s hospital, though. This is great. They fed him various things, including animals, dead, living, and in various stages of decomposition.
Don't feed them living. Don't do that.
You don't even want to know.
I don't. I do not want
to
know.
Once they fed him a feast cooked to feed 12 men, and he ate every bite. And then once Tarare was actually full, can you imagine this poor fucking guy? This poor fucking guy was never full. He ate a feast to feed 12, and then once he was finally full, he lapsed into a very, very deep sleep from which he almost couldn't be roused.
So like the world's most serious food coma.
And apparently the most serious smell in the world because he started producing even a worse odor. So this is bizarre. Like, whatever is going on with this guy's body is bizarre. The poor hospital, though. Like, these people I feel bad for, too. When he wasn't resting or eating, then he was stealing the other patients' leftovers. Or even worse, breaking into the pharmacy and consuming whatever he could find.
Oh, wow, that seems really unsafe.
Yeah, seriously, as a child who did some really stupid shit when they were younger, I could tell you that's a really bad trip.
I also feel like the medicines that we used back in the day were things like laudanum and cocaine and all kinds of shit that today we're like, whoa, whoa, no, 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 no. So, yeah, that just... What you know, the therapeutic doses of some of this shit could kill you.
Right? Like, how did he not die from just getting in there and being like, nom, 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 pills? However, things only became worse for the medical hospital staff, too, when he returned, though. When he returned. Key in on that word. Returned.
So they let him go and...
Where might he go? He's currently in military service. Well, one of those brilliant military guys did what brilliant military guys do and had a brilliant military idea that they might be able to use him as a spy.
You could smell this dude at 20 paces, so, how's he gonna sneak up on anyone to find out their secrets?
Not to mention, he was pretty fucking weird. He ate live snakes, for God's sakes, to stay alive.
Maybe it's a cost-cutting measure, in that you could pay him in live snakes, so they were like, let's use this guy.
No, it was because he could swallow a box.
Because he could swallow a box?
He could swallow a box. That's right.
And that made him a great spy?
Well, if you can put a note in a box.
Oh, so more of a courier rather than a... like sneaking around, listening in on people.
Well, yeah, not sneaking around, listening in on people. Still a spy because they had to send him over enemy lines during a war with Prussia.
Now, to be fair, if I was a Prussian soldier, I wouldn't be like, oh, we have the greatest, I guess, what is a Prussian soldier? We have the greatest spy of the French army here. No, you would be like, who is this freaky dude?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and not only that, but, like, he was as good of a Prussian soldier impersonator as I am. Like, he didn't speak a word of fucking German, and he was so weird, just so bizarre, that the peasants, the local peasants, reported him. This isn't a Prussian, oh, no, he wasn't disguised as a Prussian soldier, he was disguised as a Prussian peasant. They were like... He wasn't a peasant.
This is not a peasant. No, nein. This is not a peasant.
He couldn't speak the language. He was probably out there trying to eat their fucking dog or something.
This is a freaky snake man.
Yes. Yes. So immediately he was caught. Like, immediately the Prussians catch him. And he actually held out for over 24 hours of torture. For somebody who was not trained to be a spy to hold out for over 24 hours of torture, it's kind of impressive. But then he broke. And he told them. He was there. He had a box in his stomach. He was hungry. I imagine the torture for him just would have been letting him sit there without fucking food, really. Because can you imagine? You're already starving, or you think you are all the time. You feel like you are. That would be torture enough. This poor guy lives in torture. Leave him the fuck alone. But he tells them, they retrieve the box. I will let you imagine how they retrieve the box.
I do not want to retrieve that box. I would let that box be lost to history. I'd be like, you know, we lost the war because I was unwilling to retrieve that box, and I'm okay with that.
Now we all speak German, and that's okay.
Yeah, das ist gut, sehr gut.
Or actually, we would all speak French, because you would be the German, not taking the box.
Right, right. Yeah. So, c'est très bien. Magnifique.
Magnifique.
Super guay. Oh, no, wait, that's Portuguese. Never mind.
Anyway.
I'm like Duolingo gone real glitchy. So yes, go for it. Yes.
So as you were saying, these Prussians were like, this guy is a weirdo. And they must have been, because they then decided when they got the box and they opened it up and they discovered that there wasn't a real message in it, just a test to see if this guy could actually be a spy or a courier for French messages. And they just sent him over there to say, what the fuck? Let's see what'll happen. They decide that they are going to put on a mock execution and scare the living shit out of him.
None of this makes any sense. Like, I think they weren't even trying to get him to be a spy. They were more like, this fucking guy, he smells bad, he eats quarters of cows at a sitting, he makes everyone freaked out and uneasy, even the peasants, and they're used to seeing some shit. So,
in France?
You're a spy now. Here, swallow this, this box. Yeah, get this box down. Like, hork that on down and, go,
dress like a peasant.
Yeah, dress like a peasant and go, spy over, go to the other side and eat them out of house and home for once. Toots McGee. Yeah.
Right?
That's my take.
That is a very fair point, and I have thought of that as well. However, the Prussians probably also thinking this. Decide that they're going to fuck with him further, and they put on this fake execution where they make him think that he's going to die, but they don't actually kill him.
Just to be dicks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well.
They're Prussians. Okay. Sure.
I mean, I wasn't going to say, well, they're Prussians. I was just going to say, well, it's a war, and
Prussians don't have a reputation for being warm, fuzzy humanitarians. No. Not so much.
You are right there.
Yeah.
Anyway, but then they just sent him back to the French, and they were like, he's your problem now, bub.
So he was just basically like this grotesque farting volleyball. He just got sort of backed back and forth, like the worst game ever between the French and the Prussians. Okay.
But had he been able to do it, at least he would have been worth something to them. He could have smuggled messages across.
Sure, possibly.
Delivered in...
Not really.
In...
poop boxes. Sure. Pardon me, I have to get my ass satchel out. Seriously, like, no. I'm really glad that this is, even in the era of fake news and deep fake videos, I'm just glad that, like, ass messaging isn't the latest frontier.
Do you think maybe the reason he broke under torture is because he shit out the box?
Oh my god, instead of Twitter at that time, they had shitter.
He's sitting in the chair, and he just shits, and a box pops out.
Shoots out, and they're like, whoa, a box. I would not have curiosity. I would be like, I don't ever need to know what's in that box. And they didn't have, like, Clorox and rubber gloves and hazmat suits back in the day, so extra no.
Well, they also didn't care.
Oh, God. And had lifespans of, like, 42, so this is why. Yeah, wash your hands, kids. Wash your hands.
Oh, my God, wash your hands.
All especially hail Joseph Lister is all I'm saying right now. Ugh.
I'm sorry, I just have this Prussian soldier's face in my brain where he's like, box shoots out of a guy, and he's just like, aha, so you broke. You finally broke.
I'm like, how big was the box? Like, you know, was it like a, Like an etui? Was it like a snuff box? Was it like a treasure chest? I mean, I don't know. Like a safety deposit box? What the hell?
Are we talking jewelry box size, bread box?
Right! Yeah, I just, no. All of it's a big no.
Anyway, so once he returned, he was re-hospitalized.
Boxless, okay.
Boxless. He was re-hospitalized, and his kind of rampage and terror on the hospital started getting worse, and his doctor always shielded him. Dr. Percy always prevented them from getting him kicked out, because they wanted to kick him out of the hospital.
I can't imagine that, yeah.
Well, I mean, raiding the prescription closet, and then he started eating bandages, trying to just satiate the hunger, and at one point he became so desperate to be cured that he started accepting any experimental cure at all that they offered to him. And the first thing they tried to use to cure him, can you guess what it was?
Not corks. Just no. A big cork up the bum. No?
No. It was opium.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess pretty much, you know, it was either, you'd either have opium or cocaine. Those were your ways to be healed. Or Jesus. You could have that as well.
Yes.
In nomine patris sancti, boom, you're fine.
Of course. That's how that works. And a lot of the cults I've been listening to this week, because I've been listening to a lot of cult shit this week, that is exactly how you are healed. You do not seek modern medicine. What the listeners don't hear is I'm sitting here making a cross sign at you the entire time.
And, you know, apparently doesn't work for exorcisms because the demon's still inside. Yeah.
But, hey, newsflash. Opium didn't fucking work. I bet it made him less of a problem.
Sure. But sort of staring off into space in the corner.
It didn't fix
them. Stinking quietly in the corner.
So the next remedy they tried was a combination of tobacco and sour wine.
Because, sure, that's gonna fix it.
Oh, I have questions.
Also, if you think he smells bad now, oh my god, I'm also trying to imagine him, like, farting smoke rings because I'm a terrible person. Oh, no, no.
Well, I have so many questions about this. I have questions. Like, many about...
How? Why?
Yes.
Who?
Why the process itself? But many more about the wine. Like,
so sour wine vinegar?
Was it just sour tasting? Was it vinegary? Was it just something that...
Was it like a nice hipster shrub?
Yeah, like...
Like a rhubarb peppercorn shrub?
What's going on with this sour wine?
I don't... Yeah.
And also, did this cure anything ever? Like, was this actually a cure?
The answer is no.
Yeah. So why? I have questions. Why? That's the main one.
I have questions about all of this. I have questions about us right now. Why? Why, indeed?
As do I. The next remedy was a diet, and you're going to love this, a pure diet and only a diet of boiled eggs.
Oh, Lord. Sweet, sulfurous Jesus, no.
Can you imagine?
Oh my god, now I'm picturing the Edie the Egg Lady from the John Waters film. My eggs! I need my eggs! Like, that's what I'm picturing right now.
Oh god, that smell factor had to be cranked.
Sweet god, no. We haven't even gotten to baby eating, and I'm already like, eject, eject, eject on all of this. Ugh.
Unfortunately, though, since he could not stop his voracious hunger with these cures, him trying to get, you know, really fed and full and doing whatever he could to do that in the hospital started getting worse. So, aside from eating bandages, he started eating used bandages.
Oh, Lord Jesus!
He started sneaking out of the hospital and stealing food from the locals. So, like, now he's pissing off the entire town and combing through the garbage and eating garbage. But it gets worse.
Oh, good. I'm so pleased.
What he was doing outside of the hospital was so much better than what he was doing inside the hospital.
Okay. Something worse than yummy used band-aids?
Yeah.
Is it earwax? Because I don't want to know about earwax.
So, from the bandages...
Are we getting to the baby part?
He...
Oh, no.
...was also documented as drinking expelled blood from other patients.
Oh, no. No, no.
And even cannibalizing the dead in the morgue.
Aw, sweet Jesus, no. Don't be doing that. What is this guy, a ghoul? No.
You want
zombies? This is how you get zombies.
1700s France. This is how you get zombies.
No, God, no.
I mean, normally behavior like that would get somebody locked up in the Nutter, especially back then.
Yeah, you'd think, or burned at the stake or something.
Right, right. But no, seriously, good old Dr. Percy really kept him in his care. He recognized he was physically ill, that he had a physical problem, and he just knew that he was going to be able to help him one day. He saw how this man suffered, and he fought to keep him in the hospital. Until some pretty heavy allegations were laid at the feet of Tarare that even Dr. Percy could not shake off and could not keep his patient in the hospital.
Is this the baby-eating part?
Yes.
Alleged.
Alleged baby-eating. So there was a 13-month child either in the hospital or visiting the hospital that...
Like a toddler.
A toddler. Yes,
not 13 like a months. Newborn, but like an actual... toddling person.
Well, about a year old.
But that's a large baby.
The man ate a quarter of a cow by the time he was 17.
Sure, no, that's true.
Yes. Keep that in mind. But yes, a larger baby. And the child went missing. And they could not ever find any trace of this child. And the allegations laid against Tarare was that he actually ate this child.
He went full Lindy Chambers dingo and ate the baby.
Yes. And though they could not physically prove it, they did end up finally kicking him out of the hospital because
No one would come to the hospital if it was like, oh, let's go down, you know, I got kind of some stomach pains. Let me go down to eating a baby general. No one would do that.
No. And they had been looking for a reason to get rid of him anyway. But truly, did he eat the baby? Did he not eat the baby? Considering what he was doing, cannibalizing the dead, drinking blood, really, it's not a far stretch. He ate living animals as it was just to survive in his mind from this horrible, horrible hunger.
So, like, it's 50-50. Would he? Could he? For sure. Did he... Who knows? What? Maybe it was convenient, like, yes, baby went missing. We'll blame that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? So, what happened to Tarare after that, we're not sure. He dropped off the map for a bit because he was no longer under his doctor's care. In fact, all we know is next, a few years later, he ended up reappearing in another hospital asking for his Dr. Percy as he was suffering these horrible intestinal pains, and he was in terrible, terrible pain. He was suffering horribly. He was very thin, very gaunt, and Dr. Percy came, and he told him that he had stolen a golden fork and swallowed it.
So now there was a fork working its way through his guts?
Yes, and he begged him to give him laxatives so he could expel this fork.
He could get the fork out of him.
Exactly.
Get the fork out of there. All right.
That's where the phrase comes from, actually.
Yeah,
yes,
no doubt.
Get the fork out of there.
Yeah.
He wasn't a doctor, though, and Dr. Percy was, and he recognized that Tarare, whether there was a fork in him or not, was actually in the last stages of tuberculosis.
So don't even stick a fork in him. He's done.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. So he ended up, before he died, having terrible, terrible diarrhea. Whether this is a cause from laxatives, from trying to get out a fork or not, I don't know. All I know is that when he actually passed, his body started just emitting this terrible, terrible smell.
Even more so than the live smell?
Yes.
So like a dead Tarare is even worse than a live Tarare.
Yes. And he started decomposing very rapidly.
Ugh. So maybe the whole metabolism, I don't know. I'm not sure.
But at that point, the metabolism isn't working. Like his...
And whatever's in his body is already super gnarly and full of nasty bacteria, so... Blech.
Maybe. But they wanted to do an autopsy on him.
Ugh.
However, the smell was so terrible that only one doctor out of this large group of doctors who wanted to do this autopsy on him.
And they've seen and smelled some shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially in 1700s France.
For sure.
So it was so bad, but only one doctor could get partially through this autopsy. They never found the golden fork. Who knows if there was ever what happened with the fork, if he expelled it, if somebody went.
Plus, I don't think the owner wants that back.
No.
I don't. I would not. I'd be like, you can keep it. So that's for you.
That nurse who had to clean up after him during that whole messy period was like, ooh, a fork. Let me polish this off.
No. Christmas. Said no one. Even
no one.
Desperate French peasants. No.
Maybe there's a message in this. No. He ended up dying. They couldn't do a complete autopsy on him because the smell was so terrible. And so ends the story of Toraré.
The eater of babies.
Allegedly.
Great big baby! I'm sad that he wasn't Scottish because then I could have just gone full fat bastard with this, but, you know.
I would have loved that. I really would have.
More
but
like, I want to eat the baby. It's not as good. Mm-mm. Somehow it's just not as, yeah.
No, and he was real skinny. So, oh God, I just pictured something.
Are you casting this in your mind?
So what if the reason they think that he ate the baby is because he was really skinny before the baby went missing because he was hungry? And he could have wrapped his skin around his body or, you know, whatever. And then after the baby went missing, he had a full stomach. And they could visibly see how full it was.
Like he kind of two and two together. Maybe.
Oh, God.
Ugh.
Oh, God. Why did I just do that to myself? What is wrong with me?
Yeah, this is your episode. This is your fault.
This is my fault. How do you like my lashes?
They're like drag queen level clappers. They're magical.
I flap like a butterfly.
If you like start like fluttering your lashes like during REM sleep, do you hover above the bed?
Slightly. It wakes me up though because I stop and then bam, right back on the bed.
Boom.
But hey, if you want luscious lashes like these and you're in the Seattle area, you know what? You can get them.
You can? You weren't born with it?
No. This is not natural. I know it looks that way, but that's because my lash girl is so good. I'm talking about Sophia Kessler over at Strictly Lashes. She's the owner. If you are in the Seattle area, and guys, I know there are a lot of you out there listening to us lately, which we love. So, Seattle, go see Sophia Kessler. You can find her on Instagram at Strictly Lash, or you can look her up at strictlylash.com and mention the promo code Disturbing and get 15% off. So call her. She's awesome.
This now, particular grotesque dive down the vomit rabbit hole, this is on you.
Yeah, well, it is.
Mine is, I don't think mine's as just sort of like, oh dear God, pitiably gross, but it is still kind of fascinating. So this is sort of more modern medicine's look into why people might never feel full.
Hit me with your best medicine.
Okay. So as part of the Super Strange Appetites episode, very special episode, A Disturbing Interest, I'm here to lay some science on you here. But, like, I want to stress that it's lazy science that's mostly about just the gross stuff and not, you know, deeply into the statistics or the chemistry or any of that sort of thing. It's wiki science, guys. So my strong stomach for both disgusting things and internet research is going to be my gift to you, dear listeners. Honestly, like, when you were like, oh, I know what I want to do for the next one, and it was, this dude, he, like, ate a baby? I was like, oh, shit. And I tried to figure out, like, how are you going to follow that one up in a way that didn't cause everyone to collectively sterilize themselves and just wipe our species out from the planet because, my God, this is horrible. So, again, I turned to my old pal science on Wikipedia to figure out why in the ever-living holy fuck sometimes people feel compelled to stuff ungodly things down their gobs.
I thought you were going to say to find out why in the ever-loving holy hell my partner would want to do an episode on somebody eating a baby.
Science cannot explain that. Cannot.
No.
So, I'm not talking, like, food that's gross, like, oh, I don't know, KFC bowls or Pop-Tarts or, like, Krispy Kreme donut buns or any of that. Anything deep fried from the county fair. I'm talking, like, really seriously, not even remotely edible stuff. Not even live snakes, for instance. Because, I mean, technically, live snakes, babies, those are edible. We eat the flesh of other mammals as
I've
a species.
I've eaten snake. I have eaten snake.
You know, it's, who hasn't munched on a snake? But all of these sorts of things are things that, at least on a rational, can you do this level? It's a yes. Not a should you do this level, but a can you do this. So I kind of went down the Wiki and National Health Institute's gastrointestinal rabbit hole and looked into a couple of physical and mental disorders that make people put stuff in their cake holes that they should not do. All right, let's just take a dive right here into another installment of the Don't Put That in Your Mouth cast and...
The Disturbing Diet?
Yeah, podcast that puts you off your feed. I did a little research, first of all, into disorders that can cause people to have really extreme appetites, like the polyphagia that our charming Tarare was diagnosed with.
Is that how you pronounce that? Damn, I was pronouncing it wrong the entire
polyphagia?
Time.
Polyphagia? Polyphagia?
Yeah, I called it polyphagia.
I don't know. I don't honestly know.
And you would think that we are experts or something.
On anything? No.
We...
God, no.
Ever say that?
No. Not an... I don't know that I'm an expert on literally anything. But, so... As we mentioned earlier, untreated diabetes is frequently a reason that you might have something like polyphagia. But there are definitely some other reasons for insatiable hunger pangs. The dog is just having a ball. Literally, he's got a ball, a hedgehog ball, and he's like writhing around on the carpet with it. He's so excited about this episode.
He's just so cute.
He's been our emotional support dog throughout all of this.
He has. He's been a good intern today, not a shitty one.
No, he's been lovely. So one of the other reasons that you might have insatiable hunger pangs that isn't about metabolism but is about perhaps some other things is a disorder called Prader-Willi syndrome. So Prader-Willi is a genetic disorder that affects between 1 in 10,000 and 1 in 30,000 people on the planet. So
was it actually named after a guy named Prader-Willi?
I get actually to that. It's pretty rare, and it's actually been known about for some time. And though it was named for two of the group of Swiss scientists who actually studied it intensively and detailed its effects in the 1950s, they were named Andrea Prader and Heinrich Willi. Probably Willi, not Willi, but we would call it Prader-Willi in English, because the V, the W, the German.
Yeah.
Anyway, Prader, Andrea Prader and Heinrich Willi was identified initially as far back as the late 1800s when John Langdon Down, who was the scientist who first really researched Down syndrome, also described this particular disease's effects. Because it's sometimes, before we really knew about it, it would often kind of get mistaken for Down syndrome. Because some of the facial features of someone with Prader-Willi can look a bit like someone with Down syndrome. But they're not related. It's not on the same...
No, it's not on the same spectrum at all.
It is not. So it does... It happens most often as the result of a spontaneous deletion of part of the father's chromosome number 15. And it's not typically something that's inherited or runs in families. But it's really just something random that goes awry with the egg, sperm, or early on with the developing fetus. And one of the reasons why it doesn't necessarily get passed down is that usually people with Prader-Willi tend to be infertile. So what this funky little chromosomal oopsie does is it typically causes the person to have slower development as a baby and often some mild to moderate intellectual impairment, smaller hands and feet, often crossed eyes, and then underdeveloped reproductive organs and thus infertility. Often the person has paler skin and kind of poor muscle tone, especially when they're very young. In the past, as I said, many children with the syndrome were initially misdiagnosed as having Down syndrome, although the two issues are not at all related. And relevant to this episode, constant, intense, serious hunger is one of the most striking effects of Prader-Willi syndrome. So, and you couple that with frequent behavioral issues that the disorder can cause, like extreme stubbornness, extreme paranoia, and obsessive-compulsive disorder, and you have a real nasty recipe, pardon the expression, for problems with behavior around eating.
Dear God, that kind of sums up like my entire history with food right there. That
OCD and constant hunger.
Constant hunger, stubbornness, and OCD. Yeah, that's kind of how I've been with food, except for when I'm in my sleep, which I just don't give a shit and toss it over my shoulder after eating it.
Yeah, because you're a sleep eater.
Yeah.
You're a cheese hungerer in your sleep.
Not just cheese, but apparently cheese is what I choke on.
Go choke on cheese! That's a pretty good, like, insult.
It is. Go choke on some cheese.
So, with Prader-Willi, why the constant hunger? So, researchers don't know 100%, but the disorder does seem to produce a disruption to the normal functioning of the hypothalamus, which regulates appetite. And folks with Prader-Willi typically have lower levels of oxytocin, the hormone that is associated with feeling satiated, as well as they also have often enhanced production of ghrelin, which is known colloquially as the hunger hormone, and which signals a person with normal ghrelin levels that it's time to eat.
Do they have any kind of treatment for this?
Not really. I mean, that's kind of the unfortunate part.
Has anyone told them about tobacco and sour wine?
It didn't come up in the literature, but, you know, maybe we should...
Email?
Wikipedia, we could be like, dudes, we totally know. If opium doesn't work, here's what we got for you. So, with Prader-Willi, basically, the hormonal hunger hot tap is just always on full blast, and the cold tap is, like, intermittently trickling, and you've basically got this scalding hot hormonal feed me shower just raining through your brain constantly. That sounds super shitty and unpleasant. I'm not making fun of anyone that has Prader-Willi. It sounds like fucking hell.
It does. Like, the same with polyphagia. It's that constant hunger.
Do not want.
The realm of the hungry ghost, as I said.
This is all some bad shit. So, people who have Prader-Willi syndrome need pretty constant behavioral reinforcement and monitoring around their eating, particularly those whose intellectual limitations are on the more severe end of the spectrum for Prader-Willi. And especially when they're children, families who are caring for someone with a disorder need to padlock their pantry, their refrigerators, and even lock up waste bins and dumpsters where food is disposed of to stop their loved ones from going tarare on the food.
So how do they go to school and function in the outside world?
Right? It can be really hard. It's, you know, I'm certain they would end up being in some kind of a special education class. They might have to be homeschooled. They might need to have an aide with them at all times to make sure that their eating is appropriate. I don't know. It's a serious thing. It's rare, but it's got to be pretty damn awful. It's a real spectrum. Some people have fairly normal levels of intellectual function, and some people it's much farther down.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. So if left unchecked, a person with the disease can end up with extreme obesity and the related health problems that are associated with eating whatever, whenever, including things like gastrointestinal ailments, diabetes, joint disorders, and sleep apnea. Often people with Prader-Willi have also got unusual high tolerance to pain, so they can also end up with things like acute gastritis or appendicitis from eating shit that they should not be eating, and they're not even aware that it's happening.
Damn.
So another interesting and super damn disturbing medical issue that can cause people to have strange appetites for things that are not technically considered food is a thing called pica. So I'm not talking about the cute little gerbil looking animal that like prances around the mountains of Asia, because look up pica, P-I-K-A, and be like, aw. Look up pica, P-I-C-A, and be like, oh god. So this is a disorder, a mental disorder, a psychological disorder,
yeah,
that causes people to eat, well, frankly, shit you ought not be putting in your mouth, because none of it is nutritive, and a lot of it is actually outright harmful and indigestible.
Yeah, this is how people accidentally die.
Yes, absolutely. So pica is most often found in children because, frankly, kids are fucking dumb around what they consider edible anyway, because they're kids and they don't know any better not to eat, like, chew on the windowsill, eat lead paint, eat cat roca from the litter box. They don't know. They're little kids.
How many of us have that story of the sibling or are the sibling that ate some shit that...
I ate dog food with a dog, face down in the dish. I wanted to be a dog. So, yeah, no.
And that's how it happens.
Yep. And also, like, guys, have you met little kids? Like, all of them fucking want to die in some really absurd way because they don't understand basic concepts that we adults do, like gravity or electricity, or, like, bears want to eat you. So, you know, it makes sense that they would put weird things in their GI tracts. They put pennies up their nose, they put beans in their ears.
Kids. We saw some weird shit when I worked in the ER. We saw some weird shit. But, I mean, also, the thing with pica is you don't outgrow it.
Right. So, it does seem to be a real issue with adults who, again, start these patterns when they're young. Or it can also be developed later in adults who are coping with other conditions, such as developmental or neurological disabilities. Pregnancy and other hormonal disruptions can also cause it. And anemia can be a cause of certain very specific kinds of pica that I will describe as we go on.
Pica fascinates me because I've heard that some people, when their OCD gets out of control, they begin to have issues with pica.
Yep, yeah, that's definitely one of the kind of triggers that can elicit people putting shit in their mouth they ought not be putting in their mouth. So,
I can say that about a few of my friends' ex-boyfriends,
and
girlfriends.
Sure.
Just evenly.
So, pica is often not a problem. It's just kind of yucky, but it can be actually serious if the objects that the sufferer is consuming are toxic or poisonous, like with lead paint chips or soil, for instance, that might contain like motor oil or heavy metals or other kind of industrial runoff. And it also can lead to gastrointestinal obstruction or perforation, such as if the objects are sharp or hard like rocks or glass. And if the person is not consuming other actual nutritional food, it can lead to serious deficiencies in vitamins, minerals, etc., and a lot of weight loss.
So does pica cause you to have a reduction in pain as well?
I did not see that in the literature.
Okay, so no. Like, if somebody eats something they ought not to and it ruptures something down.
They will be like, oh, ow, my stomach. Yeah, you would think. So pica is common enough that it has been broken down into a number of subtypes by the substance eating. Buckle up, here comes the super, oh hell no, portion of this report wherein I urge you, dear listener, once again to never put any of the things I am about to describe in your goddamn mouth. I mean it. Do not do it. Just don't. Don't eat this. For the love of all that is decent and holy, just fucking don't. Okay, here goes the worst list of things people regularly enough stuff in their cake holes that they've become a fucking classification in the DSM-5.
Wow.
In alphabetical order, and this is not all of the things people might eat. This is just kind of the most common that have been given special Latin names because medical professionals like that shit. Are you ready? We're going in alphabetical order. Let's do this.
I'm ready.
And I apologize in advance if I completely fuck up the pronunciations because, Jesus Christ, these are some weird words.
Don't worry, because I talked about a guy eating a baby. Nobody is listening at this point.
I hope so. So, first off, acufagia. Can you guess what acufagia might be?
What?
Sharp objects.
Makes sense.
Needles, razor blades. Pro tip, not a good source of iron. Razor blades, not a good source of daily dietary iron. Just fucking don't, not on a dare, okay? Amylophagia, refined starch, such as corn starch, which apparently is a fairly common pregnant lady thing that they like to do. I got nothing on this one. Nobody I know that has been pregnant has ever been like, Argo, but I guess it's a thing. I don't know. This is the one that I really have trouble with. Cotopyriophagia. Any guesses?
No.
Burnt matches.
What?
Or if you're feeling fancy, we like to call those Cajun blackened matches. Yeah, that strikes me as something
burnt matches
that you definitely don't want to be ingesting because, like, the chemicals. No, don't.
Burnt matches.
Yeah, I got nothing. All right. That's a thing.
Okay. I mean, I like the smell of matches, but burnt matches.
No, I've never thought, No. Coniophagia.
Is that eating road cones?
No, no, but that's a good guess. Dust. Like, eat my dust, but
literally.
Like a literal suggestion. Yeah. Here's one of the truly fun ones. Sorry in advance for this one. Coprophagia.
Copper?
No. Copro or coprolite. So a coprolite is actually fossilized shit, like dinosaur shit. So coprophagia.
Wait a minute.
Is
wait
poop.
A minute. So, is it actual poop
it's
or is
poop.
It?
It's poop.
I was really.
It's not dinosaur poop, because that would be really very...
hoping that that was what it was. No, and then no. I was going to think, well, that must be a very specific type of person. Just, really going on an adventure there. A paleontologic kind of adventure to find dinosaur shit and eat it.
This is just like divine at the end of Pink Flamingo's shit.
Oh, God.
Poop. Yeah, poop. Again, eat shit and die. Take it literally. And let's just keep the party rolling with things that make me feel genuinely, honest to God, fucking gaggy queasy. Emetophagia. Coprophagia is from one end. Emetophagia is comes from the other. Blah! Yeah, like your fucking cat does. Except you're not a fucking cat.
No.
Yeah, I'm gonna just... Moving the fuck on. This one's fun. Geomelophagia. This one is actually like, what? That's a thing? Like, okay. Raw potatoes.
I used to love eating raw potatoes
when Guess I was you a have kid. Geomelophagia.
And my mom always told me not to. She used to tell me, don't eat raw potatoes, you'll get worms.
Okay, no, that's not how worms work. But I've also heard...
As an adult, I now know this, but... And she was a fucking medical professional.
Well, I've heard that, you know, that something about them, they're not digestible, or they'll give you a stomach ache, but I don't know if there's any real actual medical truth to that, or people... It's just that we've decided that potatoes can only be enjoyed totally cooked, and we've made it a thing. I don't know. This one seems...
I have no idea. At one point, people thought tomatoes were poisonous.
Sure, yeah. Love apples. That one's a pretty innocuous one. So if you're going to get a pica, pick that one, I would say, that one. Geophagia, dirt, soil, or clay.
That was going to be my guess.
So now this one's interesting. So this particular form of pica has also evolved as kind of a cultural practice in a number of places around the world, particularly in Africa, and then it was kind of brought from Africa to the American South by the enslaved people that were kidnapped from their homelands and brought here because white people suck.
So pica is regional?
Yeah, I guess so. So clay, geophagia, dirt, soil, clay, that's kind of an interesting one there. Here's one that no medical professional would say go for it. Hyalophagia. Glass. Just fucking don't eat glass.
Oh my.
Don't eat glass.
God.
You're not, don't be like a sideshow geek. Don't eat glass. Lithophagia. Stones. Also no. No to stones. Stone soup, not a thing. Don't do it. Also very bad for your teeth. Don't eat stones. The next one, also super gross. Mucophagia.
Oh no.
Yeah,
no,
we're gonna just
no,
pass.
No.
Yeah, that's a thing.
No.
That's a thing.
No.
Don't eat your boogers.
No.
Now this next one is actually, again, if you're gonna get a pica, this would be the one to pick. Even above raw potatoes. Pagophagia. Ice. So this one is super common with people who have iron deficiency anemia, and often once the ice chewer is treated with iron supplementation, the pica disappears.
That is very true.
Yeah, my mom actually had this form of pica when she was severely anemic at one point in her life due to fibroids. And once she was treated for those and stopped almost bleeding to death on the regular, the behavior completely stopped. Now, it was sort of handy when I was a kid that my mom was Crunchy McGee, the ice chewer, because you could hear her coming. So you could have time to just stop doing whatever bullshit thing that you were not supposed to be doing in time. Like, you hear that crunch, crunch, crunch coming around the corner. You just be like, homework, doing my homework. Totally not playing video games, doing my homework.
Yeah, my mom, same thing.
Yep.
We always saw her with her glass of ice.
Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Yeah,
crunch.
Big old glass of ice.
I think I have LaCroixphagia. I am always with the LaCroix because, you know, it keeps me from doing things like drinking wine. So there you go.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah. See, another one, Plumbophagia, or we just call that being a resident of Flint fucking Michigan. That's eating lead. This one is terrible. And in the case of the poor people of Flint, they weren't trying to do that on purpose. Usually lead eaters aren't necessarily going around like swallowing, I don't know, fishing lead or whatnot. It's usually, kids usually have this and they would chew on window sills and newel posts and things like that in houses
boys,
that had
boys.
Yeah, had had old lead paint, and then that's real bad.
Yep. In Missouri, in lower Missouri, they have the exact same problem with the lead in their water, and they've had it for a long time. No one talks about it. But they actually point out how certain people, if you're born in this area of Missouri, are just fucking crazy. Like, they are a special level of crazy. Like, they will take you out and fucking shoot you in the woods, and that's all you get, kind of crazy.
And we're fine with, apparently, that. Like, it's cool. Like, why would we want to, like, I don't know, spend a bunch of money so people don't fucking get nuts from drinking their water?
Right?
Right?
Yeah. A friend of mine grew up there.
God bless America.
She told me all about it.
Yep. No, we're more like, oh my god, there's fluoride in the water, and it's probably going to make your head big. America, we're kind of dumb. I think that's our new motto. But, so yes, plumbifagio. Definitely a thing that's making a comeback, let's say, in America. This one, also super fucking gross, but you learn a couple of cool words. Trichophagia.
Oh.
Hair, wool, or other fibers. So yeah. This one can be related to trichotillomania, which means excessive hair pulling or picking, which can be associated with things like obsessive compulsive disorder and things like that.
Anxiety. Yeah, absolutely. Disorder.
Yep. And in really extreme cases, eating hair can lead to a hairball, or if you want to use the super rad and exceedingly creepy Latin term, a trichobezoar, which can actually block the intestines and require surgery to remove it. Now, I am a dumb fuck, and I looked up trichobezoars, hit the image, oh god, I saw shit that, I'm telling you, you can check that shit out if you want to, but it's contraindicated, is what I'm saying, to having a good life, so don't, but maybe do.
You can't unsee that.
No, it's gross. It's like the worst things you've ever snaked out of a drain,
ooh,
but it's in your drain, so ooh, no. So don't eat hair. Get help. Like, doing that is a bad deal, because it really can just snarl up and block your intestines. Like, when your cat eats tinsel, it's like that. Don't do that.
Is a bad deal. If you eat this stuff, you could die. Don't do it.
Absolutely. Okay, and the last couple, we're almost down to the end. We're almost down to X, our last one. Urophagia. It's pee-pee. It's golden showers. Hematophagia, or blood. So, like, just going full transubstantiation, literally.
Harare.
Thinking you're a vampire, whatever. Yeah. And finally, xylophagia, which is not eating xylophones, but rather is eating wood or paper products.
Yeah.
Stop it. You're not a beaver. So that's my whole list of awful, disgusting medical terminology for things that you should probably not be eating.
Wow.
And all of these things can be treated for things like the ice. Sometimes it's taking care of underlying medical problems that cause this to go away, but for other people it can mean having psychological or mental health issues dealt with, and
which again go
you should you, do anyway
yes, yes.
So if you're doing this stuff, you're not a bad person, you know, there's nothing wrong with you, but there is help out there to get you to stop doing these things so that you can live a healthier and bijouar free lifestyle. So
That way, we don't want you to self-harm, and ultimately, that's what you're doing.
Don't be doing that.
Risking yourself.
Risking your health.
Self-harm. So, get help if you need it. We are believers of the get help movement. And
we're believers that it should be a lot easier for people to get help, because it's very difficult. Yeah.
And you know what? If you are full-time employed someplace, ask them if they have an EAP, if you need immediate help in an employee assistance program. Because let me tell you what, a lot of the times they do, and it's free, and you get a handful of visits, free places, and they will get you in and book you immediately for it. So,
see, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Of course, I'm self-employed, so my get help is like, shit. I'm on the aw shit plan.
You're on the caca, motherfucker!
Pretty much. I'm on the, like, eating ice and running loose with, like, underpants on my head at Pike Place Market, which is only, like, the 90th weird thing you'd see that day.
Snatching up lattes from tourists.
Yeah, I pretty much work in the asylum, so there you go. Yeah.
Don't eat a baby.
Oh, no. No, no. I do keep a catalog of ugly babies that I see at the market. Because not all babies are cute. You motherfuckers are like, they're so cute. Oh, no, I've seen some things. I've seen some babies where I'm like, I don't think that one's done yet. Or did you shave an ape? Yeah, that's, I do. I look for the ugly ones.
That's
I don't, like, point awesome. And laugh. I'm not a monster. on the outside. On the inside, I'm like, ooh, damn. But I don't, like, make a face or anything. I'm not mean. I'm just observant.
I'm impressed that you don't make a face, because I mean...
I've occasionally got, oh, dear Lord. But I try to keep it on the inside.
Look at that big pigeon over there. Jesus.
No, I'm very good at that poker face of, like, everything's fine. It's all fine here. I'm that dog. I'm the dog in the burning building. This is fine.
We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, folks, take care of each other.
Don't eat hair or glass or a baby or snakes or any of those things. Don't do it.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, folks. Please remember to hit like, subscribe, and review. If you would like to send us an email, whether it is a picture of a wizard van or not, then you can do so at disturbinginterest@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at The Disturbing Interest Podcast, on Twitter at podcast_DI, or Instagram at DI Podcast. Find us on our website at disturbinginterest.com, or you can send us creepy stuff at P.O. Box 70515, Seattle, Washington, 98127. Stay disturbed, friends. We'll talk at you soon.